Today's one of the best days ever. Jesus sent his son to die for all of mankind so that you and I can have a personal relationship with him. You realize how important that is? Our everyday life, we don't have to think about the resurrection around Easter time. You can think about it every day. Every time you fellowship with God, every single day. I know there's some people here that are still struggling with stuff. And holidays can be pretty tough, especially after losing loved ones. But I'm just going to let you know. If they had a personal relationship with Jesus, God received them home. They're better off than you are right now. If you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah 53. It says this, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire in him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercessors for the transgressors." Y'all know this is talking about Jesus, right? The title of my message today is, "For God so loved the world, he sowed love." S-O-W-E-D, he sowed love. He loved the world so much that he gave. He actually sowed himself. He sowed love. He sowed his son. Jesus and the Father are one. He sowed love. Go back to verse 2, please, if you can go there. It says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the ground he has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There was nothing physically fit about Jesus that people would look like, "Man, this guy's, he's got a nice body and all that other stuff. He's just so good looking." Jesus couldn't use his looks in order to get by like some people do. I heard a story about a woman who got pulled over by a police officer, highway patrolman, and he was getting ready to give her a ticket. And she says, "Well, I've heard that pretty women don't get tickets." Here's your sign. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. We're talking about somebody who spoke the truth. Jesus didn't go around gossiping. He didn't go around telling lies. He spoke the truth. He delivered people from many afflictions. What about him that made the religious leaders so jealous, so envious of him that they had to plot to kill him? See, when you're doing right in life, people aren't going to like it. The enemy doesn't like it. He will do everything he can to try and stop what God wants to do in your life. And this is what he was trying to do to Jesus. If he would have known it, he never would have done it. If he knew he was the Son of God, it never would have happened. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. You know, it says surely, you can bet your top dollar he truly means it. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The griefs, that word, it means malady. It means sin. It means sickness. He bore. He carried it. He carried your sorrows. You don't have to go around feeling sorry for yourself all the time. You don't have to go around carrying sickness and disease in your body. That is not what God wants to do. You go home. We come to church every single Sunday with the sickness. We leave with the sickness. We go to work with the sickness. We come home with the sickness. He told you he bore your sickness so you wouldn't have to carry it. Joe, come here. Put this on. Now, you're a lot strong. I should have got somebody a little more frail. Put that on. There you go. Come on, walk with me. Strap up. There you go. Every single day, we're carrying grief. We're carrying sorrow. We're carrying hatred. What this person did to me. What that person did to me. We're carrying every single day. But yet, surely, he borne it. Lord, my dad died of cancer. But he's home with you. I don't gotta carry that no more. My wife is just getting on my last good nerves. Every single day. I can't stand it. He bore that too. He took it. So that your load could be lighter. So that you could be free. So that you can have a truly personal relationship. None of that junk. Whatever hinder your relationship with Jesus. Why on earth would you ever want to carry that around? Every single day. But Lord, the doctor said, I got this, I got PTSD. Who bore your sickness? Who bore your disease? Jesus. Come on. Say his name like his name means something. But I got this disease. I got this ailment. Who bore your griefs? Jesus did. If he bore it, why are you carrying it? Why have you accepted it in your life? Why have you accepted the doctor's report? I haven't. My wife showed me something that was called the water. I don't know if you guys seen that yet. If you haven't seen it, have you seen it? All that snake venom? They give you 9 days when you're in the ICU. They're waiting for you to die. They were waiting for me to die. but he bore our griefs. So you wouldn't have to. Surely he did it. Stop beating yourself up. Stop carrying that junk around. Every single day you give it to him. Whatever problem it is, you give it to him. He bore it for you for a reason. Not so you can flaunt about it. Not so you can brag about it. I heard a story of a man that years ago, I can't remember what preacher had talked about it, but he had said he was a Vietnam, or he was a war veteran, and he had gotten hurt, disabled, but God healed him. But then after he had healed him, the thing is that he ended up getting back into that wheelchair because he felt more special, because people would come up to him and ask him, hey, what happened to you? Thank you for serving. He loved the attention. He don't realize that he could have made a greater testimony by God healing him. But he chose to bear it himself. And sometimes we may choose to bear those things ourselves just so we can get attention. You don't have to do that. The greater attention is on him. It's not about us. It's about him. He's a living testimony. You know, we have this cross up here, and I love the cross. We know, we understand he carried the cross. And I've heard theologians say and teachers say that a tomb is a better representation, but I also heard this, that the throne is an even better representation of where we're at right now, because he is seated in heavenly places, and we are seated with him. We need a throne up there. He bore it. Go to the next verse, please. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes. The 39 lashes that he took, we're healed by that. When you leave here today, leave it here. Whatever hurt you got, whatever's going on in your life, leave it here. Not today, Satan. Not today. Leave it here. Stop carrying that junk around. Because as soon as we lay it down, Jesus, can I get that back? That word peace. Anybody know what that word peace means? Have you heard that word shalom in the Hebrew? It means peace. It means well. It means happy. It means friendly. Welfare means prosperity. Some people don't like that. It means favor. It means rest. It means safety. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Healing is a part of the atonement in every area of your life. For your soul, for your physical body, for every area of your life, for your family, whatever's broken, he'll make you whole. Some people actually say that this passage isn't about Jesus. And I'm like, wait a minute. Who else bore your sins? Well, there's a lot of people that may have been executed or what have you. Who else carried your sickness and disease? No one else. There's only one. Matter of fact, go to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. This is Philip. In the middle of revival, this happens. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road, which it goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who would declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Jesus couldn't. He didn't have time to bear any children. Or not bear, but to have any sons or daughters. His life was taken from him. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. If that wasn't about Jesus, this wouldn't be valid. This validates the very thing that Isaiah 53 says. So if anybody tries to say Isaiah 53 isn't talking about Jesus, you show them Acts chapter 8. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, going astray, I think some of us may have done that in our life or what have you, turned from Jesus. I grew up in the church and I went astray a little bit, sowed some wild oats, things of that nature. But the thing about it is I never rebelled. I didn't rebel against God. We didn't rebel against Jesus. He still had a plan for me, and he still's got a plan for you. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent. Jesus never griped. I'm back in Isaiah if you need to know. Sorry. That was chapter 7 I just read. Jesus never griped or complained. He never opened his mouth. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to die for us. He could have said, no, you know what? Just start all over. You know, he has the power to do that. Just wipe everybody out, start all over. There doesn't need to be an atonement. King's X on that, start all over. But he chose not to. But he never griped, took a plane. Let me ask you a question. And I'm going to step on little toes a little bit, though. What are we griping and complaining about? We didn't even have to do nearly what Jesus had to. See, he's the perfect example for our lives. Lord, if you didn't say anything, I'm not going to say anything. I know they did me wrong. I know they lied on me. I know they slandered my name. I know they tried to destroy my credibility. I'm not going to say anything because they did it to you. I'm not greater than you. Who am I to complain to you? I was talking with Brandon the other day, and I tried to elude from saying certain things in my messages, and I was about to slip up right there. They was about to get throat punched. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Jesus was arrested, and you can find this in Luke 23. He was arrested and put on trial. They went about finding witnesses to lie on him. He never sinned. They found him guilty. Had it in the middle of the night. You know that was shady. All this is going on. He had been betrayed. He was arrested. They found him guilty. He was denied. He was beaten. For you and I. So that we can go on about our day carrying our griefs. So we can go on about our day saying, woe is me. So we can go on about our day living with that sickness and disease in our body when you don't have to. You literally don't have to live with it. And we put up with it. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And we know that when he was on that cross, he was in between two criminals. He was in between two thieves. He was made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. That was his tomb. See, even the rich, back then, it's okay to follow Jesus. People don't like that today. You can't have all that and be a follower of Christ. They had it back then. Look at the women that helped Paul. They had money. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. God was pleased to bruise his own son because he knew that it meant he will soon have a relationship with his greatest creation. You. You're the only one created in his image. God's black. God's white. God's Asian. Inwardly. You're just like him inwardly. And we're supposed to see ourselves the way that he sees us. And he sees you just like he sees his son. If you've given your life to Jesus. If not, you're just a rank old sinner. But you know what? There's hope. Because he died for you too. And you're going to get an opportunity to be able to give your life to Jesus, and because it's what he's done for you. It's not what you do for him. You put your faith in that. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The perfect sacrificial lamb bore your sins. And there's not anything you can do. Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 12. Therefore I will divide him with a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, what sin are you going to continue to carry? What heartache are you going to continue to carry? What offense are you going to continue to carry? For God so loved, he gave. he sowed. Stop holding on to it. Stop fighting them. It's kind of like we end up trying to act like those, you know, our kids when they're not old enough to put their clothes on yet, and then they start fighting you. They get stiff as a board, and they don't want to, their legs get out. That's kind of what we're doing. Stop fighting them. Let it go. It'll free you up. You feel a little lighter, Joe? Years ago, I got lined up. Sorry to make this about me. I swear I just didn't want to do that. But years ago, my brother, there's guys that play professional baseball, Demetri Young, Tony Gray, and Jason McClain. These four guys nearly broke me. And what I mean by that is teens being teens. They lined me up on a 9-foot rim for eternity. It was about an hour. And they took turns dunking on me left and right. You learn the hard way. And they nearly broke me. But what I decided to do, I wasn't going to allow anyone to do that to me again. So I got in the weight room. And I began to put weights on. And then they had this machine that was called a leaper. And then I began to put all those weights on and begin to work those legs and everything else. All that weight. And then when I got done with that weight, lifting those weights, it made me lighter. And it was like I can just jump out the gym. Every day you walk, you carry that burden. It's like you got that weight on you, but when you give it to God, you're lighter. You become lighter every single day. It's working on you every single day. That weight that's in God, I give it to you. It becomes lighter. You're able to move throughout your day a whole lot better. It doesn't matter what you've done. He says if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you. God's not holding anything against you. Don't matter. I don't care what you've done in the past. He's not holding anything against you because he put it on his son already. His wrath is on his son. John 3 says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, there we go again, surely. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again. That means that new birth only comes from heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus then said to him, are you the teacher of the Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen and do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now let's say this all together. We know this. Ready? Read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 4 says that God is love. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is what love does. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. That's what love does. Doesn't do. Love does this though. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It bears all things. I know there's some people that may get on your nerve and you may want to just cut them out. But here's the thing. Love bears all things. No, you can't throw punch them. That's forbidden. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. For God so loved the world, he sowed love. He could have chose hatred. He could have chose his wrath in order to sow. He chose love. Because love will always conquer those things that we talked about. You want to see the power of God operating in your life? You choose love. Heard someone say, if your life is not supernatural, then it's superficial. And the love that he sowed was agape, not phileo. Agape love. Romans 8:29 says this. In the Passion, he says, for he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for mankind. He was a seed that sowed that yields a harvest of brothers and sisters within the body. He's the firstborn among many. When God sowed him, he's reaping us. He's produced every seed. He's created every seed to produce after his own kind. So when he sowed the firstborn son, he's reaping many more within the body of Christ. So what seed needs to be sown in your life? Well, my finances are down and out. Sow some seed. Money is a type of seed. Well, I'm just not feeling loved. Everybody's hating on me. Sow love. Don't gripe and complain. Sow love. I know it's easy. You know why? Because I have to fight it every day. Every single day. But every single time I give it over to him, I feel lighter. I'm more in tune with what he's trying to tell me. I'm happier. I'm blessed. I start looking at all the things he's done for me. Not what I can do. Not what I've done. It's a simple thing, but yet sometimes we have to fight our flesh in order to get there. Your marriage, you feel like your marriage is falling apart. Sow some time in the Word. Sow some time in podcasts. Sow some time in prayer. Sow some time with your wife and your husband. Sow some time with your children. Sow that time. I grew up in a video game age, but you gotta get off the video games and sow that time, because that's time spent with them that you can have. Why? Because he bore it. And you're carrying it around every single day. My children, they're going around as if they lost their mind, Lord. Sell some time with them. Do some things they like to do. Not what you like to do. Do some things they like to do. I can't stand my mom. I can't stand my dad. They're always on me. Why do you think that is? Because they know there's a world out there that don't give a rip about you. And they got to be tough on you. The world ain't going to treat you. It ain't all at me. I think I heard somebody say, if you want to make everybody happy, sell some ice cream. You're not going to make everyone happy. Jesus bore your griefs. Don't you leave here today. And don't allow any other day on, as long as you live, don't you carry any more griefs around. You are healed and you are whole in every area of your life. Don't pick up what everybody else is putting down. You pick up what the Word is saying. And I'm telling you what, the Word of God is going to say some really, really good things about you when you read it. And it'll convict you of some things too. But that's a good thing. You can't cover that up with God. Bitterness. Bitterness can ruin a whole family. It can ruin a whole city. It can ruin a whole race. Bitterness. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. He's so good. He bore it. Ushers, you can get the children if you want and bring them in. But every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anyone here today that's never made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, and you want to do that, we will pray a prayer with you so that you can receive that, because the Bible says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your heart and is in your mouth. That is the word of faith, which we confess, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you want to make Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today for the first time, Resurrection Sunday, 2022, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Well, just repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, today I make the decision to let you bear my griefs. You carried my sorrows, and I lay it down today at your feet, and I will never pick that up again. Lord, I thank you that I'm free from all sin, from all condemnation in you. Lord, I thank you that you are an awesome God, and you have healed me. And you have made me whole. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Your kids are coming in. They're going to do an Easter egg hunt outside, so you can go with them and watch. I love the fact that God, how he set this up in life. Whatever you're lacking in life, you can sow. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever's lacking in your own personal life, you got to understand he's giving you seed to sow so that you can have an abundance. And then you can share that abundance with other people. Amen. Father God, I thank you for everything. I thank you for all you've done, Lord. You are so good. And we thank you for Jesus and what he has done in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the tomb. And we thank you for the throne, because we are seated in heavenly places with you. Lord, help us go throughout the week and throughout our lives, living free from offense, from bitterness, from rage, from anger, all of that stuff, Father God, so we can have a better relationship with you, because that's what it's about. And keep us bold, keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have a happy, happy Easter.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.